Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Bad Company without Gray Eyes Smith. I just want to see if everyone was paying attention. Sorry, Greg can't make it tonight. He's got a couple things he's got to handle in the real world on the other side of that screen, outside the box, as I usually say. And so you're kind of stuck with myself, and we have Weaver of Dreams, and we have Intimidus Rex. So hello, Kate, and hello, Rex. It's great to have you guys here. And I, you know, I appreciate, and we're doing winter stuff tonight, as if it's not cold enough. How about it?
Nah, it's just wet.
I was going to say, Gray is kind of like Walmart. He's got Christmas and wintertime out there before Thanksgiving's even over with. But I'll get you for it, Gray. I'll get you for it. You know how that works. You know, they have Christmas out before Halloween half the time. It's terrible. But winter is just cold, so life is good. And I'm sure he's got wonderful poetry for it. So what's happening, guys?
Just
well, on you go, Rex.
No, I've only got rain. That's about it.
Rain. Well, you would love Scotland, because in Scotland you can have three seasons in one day. But just that kind of place. Warm in the morning. Warm fog and snow all in one day. Weird place to live.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. That is crazy. Oh, I don't know. I don't know what we're having today. It just feels damp.
Yeah,
when it's damp and not like, you know, nice, it just makes everything. It makes my bones ache.
I'm lucky, I suppose, because weather doesn't really affect me very much. I've driven a motorbike for years, and when you drive a motorbike, it doesn't really matter what the weather's like. You know, it's just a lot more clothes to put on or take off, I suppose. So, yeah, I don't really bother about it.
Well, I used to have this one car of mine that I used to take the roof off of, right? Which was nice. I used to love to do that, but every time I took the roof off, it would rain. It didn't matter where I was. I could be riding down the main highway, and it would start to rain out of nowhere, and I'd be like, oh, God. And I did come to learn that the faster I went, the less rain hit me.
Yes.
I have to say that. So I kind of learned a little something that day. Or those days, because there were so many. My mother and I went shopping one day, and we went to come out of the store, and, of course, the roof was off. And we went to come out, and it was pouring down. I mean, it was teeming rain.
Oh.
And my mother looked at me like, you got to be kidding. I said, no, I'm serious, Mom. You know what I mean? Every time I take the roof off, it rains. And here's my mother on one side of the car looking at me like I have two heads as we're putting the roof back on the car. Because it was a manual thing. You slide it out and slide it in and snap it down. And it was a push button thing. It's not like you push the button and the thing went away. No. That would be teasing.
Oh, dear.
It happened all the time. Happened all the time. It was crazy. But anyway, enough of my silly stuff, see? But a motorbike, see, you know that the faster you go, like the less you're going to go around you. I don't know. Some way. Oh, it was great. So anyway, guys, I don't know. But it's always fun. Always fun. And I'm glad to have you here, SF. I didn't say that before. I'm going to say it again. I guess maybe I should shut up and get started. What do you think?
I think why not?
We could do that? Okay. Okay, well, I think Kate, the chief, is going to pluck up the poetry and hand out the poems. So, you know, just remember, I don't have a deep voice, Kate. Well, I do, but not like something.
I say. I could do that. Hello, my name's Fred. How are you doing? No, maybe not. We have, first of all, Facing Winter by Serious Clown. So I have no idea whether Serious Clown is male or female, but I will ask Rex if he would care to read this, please.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mike.
Facing Winter by the Serious Clown. The long winter months are approaching. Temperatures get cooler each day. We all have to wear extra clothing to keep the cold weather at bay. Animals grow thicker fur, which gives them a winter coat, especially those that live in the open, like the cat, the wolf, and the goat. Soon we'll have to hibernate to keep themselves alive, using metabolic depression to help their body survive. Nature caters for everyone, but one thing doesn't seem fair. The tree casts off all its protection and faces the winter bare. And boom.
Nice read, Rex. Yeah, I think that I'll start this one out. I thought it was a nicely penned piece. And, you know, for real about it, you know, the animals, they survive. You know, they somehow survive. You know, they get more fur, they find places, they hibernate like the bears. They're my favorites because that's what I like to do. And I think it was just really well put together. I thought there was good imagery and thought throughout. And yes, so nice job, Serious Clown. Now, Kate, what did you think about it?
Well, I'm a connoisseur of winter. Being a very short person, I tend to find it difficult to walk through snow very, very easily. It usually comes up to my neck. That's how small I am. But I love winter. And always feel so sorry for the animals. I have a little robin that comes to my garden every day and sits on my fence. And obviously it's not the same robin because it's been years. So it'll be a different robin. But I always feed the birds. I always have the little fat balls for them and in the winter. I would love to be able to hibernate, wouldn't you? Just go to sleep for a couple of months. I would love that. Mm-hmm. That would be so cool. I thought this was beautifully written. I really enjoy it. It's a kind of a, it's actually a cool poem in as much as it's so well written and it seems to just move so easily and the rhyming is great. And altogether, a well done piece of writing, which I really enjoyed. So thank you very much. Yeah. Serious Crown, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Nice comment, Kate. Alex, how about you, bud?
I agree. And I like the twisted note in that last stanza because it offers up a touch of humor with the bear angle. But the funny part is even the trees, less their leaves, do have that coat of snow, which keeps them warm on the ground and also feeds them through the winter as well. So they might be bare up top, but where it counts, those roots are warm and well fed.
Nice comments, guys. Nice comments. Let me see now. Yeah, I have to agree. I like that. I like the closing stanza on that as well. It's a nice, just a nice set of thought. So, well done, Serious Clown. You know, definitely. But yeah, I always say I think I was a bear in my last life. It's winter comes in and I'm like, just get under the blanket and stay there till spring. I have to admit it. Okay, well, Kate, whenever you are ready, my dear.
Yes, I am ready. We have an Autumn to Winter poem by Teresa S. An Autumn to Winter poem. Far, far have I traveled to find you, as now here the autumn winds they gently blow. So deep, deep into the heart of the forest, and as the streams hurtle down the mountainside, all down the mountainside on their way to the sea. For soon the snows will be swept in by the blizzards. Over every track and pathway they will fall, and the frost he will stride over the treetops, and the whitest of flakes they will cover my eyes. I will not lift my hand, not even a finger, to wipe away those enchanted flakes, so sublime. No, I will not lift my hand, not even a finger, to wipe away those enchanted flakes that are mine, for far, far have I traveled to find you. End poem.
Nice read, Kate, nice read. Lex, you want to kick us off on this one?
Sure. The far, far travel angle that she starts with and finishes with offers up that idea of going home, so to speak, because it hits right near, I will not lift my hand. It hits at those, before that too, let's see, the whitest flakes that will cover my eyes. I will not lift my hand or even a finger to wipe away those enchanted flakes, so sublime. It kind of hits the notion of reliving those moments in childhood where you looked up and you had the snowflakes just pouring down your face. You're looking at the difference in them. You got your tongue out waiting for one of those pristine flakes to melt and give you a little chill on your tongue. So there's a nice note in there, not just to the thought of going back home, but actually finding that bit of a child in you once more, the glee and the awe in actually seeing something for the first time again.
Absolutely. Nice comment, Rex. I think this was a lovely poem. Far, far have I traveled to find you. And now here, the autumn winds, they gently blow so deep, deep into the heart of the forest. And as the streams hurtle down the mountainside, all down the mountainside on their way to the sea. There's lovely imagery throughout this. I mean, you can visualize, you know, exactly what's being read throughout. And I love a poem that can do that. And, you know, by the time you get to the end of it, you've had this whole image in front of you. And, you know, then you end up with the far, far travel. Far, far have I traveled to find you. And I think that it's a lovely way to express that journey. So well done, Teresa. Nice work there. And Kate, how about you, hon?
Yes, I thought this was, I enjoyed reading it. And I really enjoyed the repetition. I've always liked that. I don't know why I like it so much, but I do. It seems to anchor everything. So, you get, oh, here's the repetition again, and then on we go. So I thought it was lovely. And I liked the way she talked us through the winter coming and coming, and it's here. I like that. You know, so we're talked through what happens each time it gets colder, there's more frost and the flakes cover your eyes. I thought it was very well written, very interesting, I found it. And I like when something makes me go, oh, okay, what's this? I enjoy that a lot. So, yes, thank you, Teresa. It was very enjoyable.
Right. Okay. Well, whenever, we're ready, Miss Kate. I guess I better check the phones, too. I'm getting trouble.
Okay. Are we ready for the next one?
We sure are.
So we have First Winter by Melanie Edwards. And Phil, would you like to read this?
Sure. Sure thing. Okay. Here we go. First Winter by Melanie Edwards. For 50 red autumns, the rain has thrown herself against the thin glass, wrapped in a wet blanket, tapping her deepest rhythm, calling to a bruised winter morning. Under a marbled sky, snowflakes silently hijack the stony streets, softly caking the hard gray slated undulating roofs. Snaking up the winding valley like submerged railway carriages waiting for a green light. Red embers glowed, flickering shadows played on yellowed, papery walls like a magic lantern show. The faded painting hung, a heavy head, a broken masted ship caught in the jaw of jagged fangs, stomach gaping, bleeding entrails, dyed red, the fermenting, foaming surf, sails torn as frozen frenzied gulls descend to loot the splintered wreck. Spring came, tar-like in the valley, dragging a hacking mist, shouldering the fiery hall to the higher slopes as slowly dawn broke. I often listen still through danger's dark windows on faraway shores to the dogged winds, sinking into that soft beating bosom, into that warm flickering flame, wrapped in white linen, listening to the howling, to that calling, to the call of the first winter. End poem. I keep forgetting I'm supposed to lead comments. So bear with me. I'm on the wrong night. Kate, you want to start us off on this one?
Yes, of course. Sorry, sudden silence there. I was getting back to the page. Yes, this is another beautiful poem about winter. But from what I can see, the people involved are not really geared up for it, unless I'm completely wrong, but they seem to be having a lot of trouble here. Heavy masted ship caught in the jags and the jaw of jagged fangs. Oh, wow. Dyed the red fermenting foam surf steel. Oh, they're out there, out in the freezing ice cold water.
Yeah.
Splintered wreck. Oh, yes, this is very well. This is very well written. This is a lovely story, which I also like very much. And you can feel the cold. You can actually feel and hear the ice cracking. It's so beautifully written. So, yes, I have to say I totally enjoyed this, Melanie. Thank you for sharing.
Nice. Great comment, Kate. And Rex, how about you?
Well, it kind of reminded me of Cream's White Room, the abstract imagery with it. And that opening stanza kind of hits hard. For 50 red autumns, the rain has thrown herself against the thin glass, wrapped in a wet blanket, tapping her deepest rhythm, calling to a bruised winter morning. Kind of hits me with the idea of living somewhere for 50 years, and the worst you got was cold rain. So that notice to tapping her deepest rhythm is a call to go back and see, a call to actually visit and see what snow is really all about. And that's what comes next. The marble sky, snowflakes silently hijack the stony street. That imagery of your first look at what a real snow looks like. caking over the hard gray slate of undulating roofs, snaking up the winding valley, like submerged railway carriages waiting for a green light. There's a nice snowed in feeling there. And then the fire playing out, the red embers glowed, the flickering shadows. It's a nice touch of everything else in that particular room is kind of out except the flickering shadows from the fire, which are casting their notes across the wall where that faded painting hangs. And the imagery with that one, the broken masted ship caught in jaw of jagged fangs, stomach gaping, bleeding entrails. There is a note of that shipwreck and what a winter storm might evolve into. Then the thought how spring comes in, everything's wet and sticky. Again, you're looking at that first view coming out of winter going into spring. And then the back end of this, wrapped in white linen, listening to the howling, to that calling, to the call of the first winter, is kind of a nice pleasing note because she's all bundled up in with that warm fire going, and she's enjoying the moment.
Mm. Nice comment. Nice comment, Rex. I have to say that, I thought it was a well-penned journey through winter. Good imagery in the piece itself. And I felt that a chill, I had to agree with Weaver on this. I felt that there was a chill that ran through the poem, just as it does through winter. And I thought that was clever that she captured that. So well done, Melanie, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Great job. Absolutely. Absolutely. So let me just see. Okay, Kate, well, whenever you are ready, my dear, whenever you are ready. Okay, Kate, are you there?
Well, she's got the piece up, so I'm gathering it's me.
Oh, I don't see it. Okay, yeah. No problem. There you go.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, I was on mute. Oh, sorry. Yes, please carry on.
Long, Lonely Winter's Nights by Leif Van Amsterdam. Another long, lonely winter's nights in the country. No women around here to keep me company. Over half the day spent laying in bed. Just music and the computer on instead. Over 12 hours lazing away in the darkness. I guess in a way I'm still kind of blessed. No need for me to slave away anymore. I've only worked for about a year since 2004. First world problems, you may say to me, you believe, but everyone has a chance for happiness, I think. No matter where you are born in this world, there's the opposite sex around for you to explore. So, as I ponder life today, here on my own, I know I've achieved a lot over the years that I've grown. So much off the bucket list now, just need my new girl. The question is, how?
Nice read. Nice read, Rex. And Kate, you want to start us off on this one?
Yes, of course. I will be happy to. And I'm not on mute. Wonderful. Yes, now, living in the country in the winter, you don't give it much thought, do you? But, yeah, no woman around. Half a day spent lying in bed. Well, so far, it's sounding pretty good, apart from the ladies. I think this is lovely. I think this is just telling you exactly how that must feel to be trapped, lonely winter's night with no one else around. But you've got your computer for a little while. You get bored with that soon. But he's obviously, yes, this is playing on his mind quite a bit. The opposite sex not being around to explore. Delicately put, my dear, delicately put. So he's on his own. We've got to that conclusion. And now he's only got to find himself a new girlfriend. Well, I really hope he does soon because he doesn't sound as if he's having a lot of fun. Poor chap. I thought it was very funny. I love his name anyway, so I was set up, wasn't I? Leif Van Amsterdam. Is that not just damn good? Yeah, so good. So, yes, I really hope, Leif, that you find somebody soon. Ah, wonderful. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. I have to say that I think there's something interesting in this piece because when I look down, he says, winter, loneliness, pain, and life. And there is a certain loneliness and sadness. They do carry a cold of their own, which, again, I feel really mirrors the cold of winter, and looking for that special someone, not only warms you side by side. But it gives you an inner warmth, I think, that kind of makes you feel, I don't know, better. You know, it's kind of like having the fireplace and sitting next to it in the wintertime. And you have someone who you've grown fond of, and your heart warms, and you just feel warmer all over. Not, you know, sexually, but in general. It just kind of gives you that inner warmth. So I think there was an intriguing comparison on that in my mind. So nice job, Leif, and thank you for sharing, as always. We appreciate your work. And I think, yes, we do, we have Pam Wright on the line. Hello, Pam. How are you?
Thank you. Hi, Weaver. Good to hear you
both. Say hello to Rec. He's here, too.
Oh, well, hello there.
Hey.
Good to hear you, too.
Oh, my God, that was cute. did you happen to hear the poem by Leif Van Amsterdam, Pam?
I did not hear it, though I did read it, and I liked what you all had to say. And I have to agree, you know, these long, cold winter months, especially. I mean, it's always nice to have someone around, but, you know, it's during those long, cold winter months, you know, when the loneliness and the depression really set in, that it's just nice to have someone to cuddle with. Well, you know, there's a reason why the month that the most babies is conceived in is December. It's because it's cold and people are snuggling, and snuggling leads to making babies and
nice.
All that. So
I think it was all about the Christmas present.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought this was a wonderful write. I love the straightforward style and, you know, the realization of, you know, I'm lonely, but the question at the end, you know, the question is how? How do I find that new girl? So excellent write and very well done.
Nice. Nice comment. Now, Rex, I did not have you comment yet, correct?
Yep. Well, if you kind of snowed in there, put on your mucklucks and go out slogging. See what Eskimo you can find. Because he's nice and cozy. He's got his music. It's warm in bed. He's got his comforter pulled up. Well, now all he needs is that comforter within the comforter.
Oh, yes.
Comforting. He needs the comforter. Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. Okay. Well, Weaver, that brings me back to you.
Okay.
So when
I have, yes, I have. Winter is Coming by Damn It Dave. So Rex, could I ask you to read this, please?
Sure. There it is. Winter is Coming by Damn It Dave. Winter is coming, and we don our deceitful coats, jaded jackets, and stocking caps over of covert animosity, hiding our bias and prejudice as a profane T-shirt we wear underneath, showing only glimpses now and then. A storm is coming, as white blankets of snow face hateful, contemptuous accusations that it willfully and mockingly covers the brown earth for its own benefit, killing the last blades of grass simply for being green. A war is coming, for the ignorant disregard the wise, and abhorrence cheerfully trumps altruism and hope, stomping it into the miry ground. Death is coming. We fail time and again to learn from our wrong moves and misdeeds. We merely flip the game board when we're caught cheating, and we walk away thinking we've won. And pump.
Nice read, Rex. Nice read. Pam, I'm gonna kick it off with you.
All right. Well, you know, I really like how he wrote this free verse poem in a way that one thought leads to the next. So he starts with the thought that winter is coming, and then a storm, a war, death. And he reminds us that there's, yes, you know, we have to be prepared for winter, but there's so much more that we need to be prepared for. I think this has strong imagery all the way through. But I think it gets progressively stronger in its thought, especially when it mentions a war is coming, for the ignorant disregard the wise, and abhorrence cheerfully trumps altruism and hope, stomping it into the miry ground. Those lines really spoke to me. It's excellent right on taking heed of what's coming up, and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. And Weaver, how about you, hon?
Yeah, I like this a lot. He's got the sharpness about him. I like the way he kind of like stabs the words at you. I just love it. You know, you can't not pay attention to it. You can't go off on a daydream or anything because he's there letting you know what he thinks. I think it's wonderful. I particularly, and I've lost it now. Oh, yes, I particularly like the stanza, hiding our bias and prejudice as a profane T-shirt we wear underneath. Now, that's great, I mean, because people know you by the slogans on your T-shirt, don't they? People make their first impressions of you by what they read in your face and on your body, and I think that's great. So he can do what he likes because it's underneath his T-shirt. He wears the T-shirt underneath and hides everything he wants to think about and say about himself. So, yeah, I thought it was beautifully written. I liked it a lot. I love the way it marched along, as I say. I like that. So I enjoyed it very much, damn it, Dave. Thank you.
Absolutely. And Rex, how about you, hon?
Well, considering this is 6 years old, comes across as awful prophetic considering how things are working out right about now. Winter is coming, and it's going to be blistering. The storm is coming yet. And the war is coming. It's here, and it's getting worse. And death is definitely on the horizon. So this, even though it's 6 years old, boy, does it hit hard notes of what is going on right now.
Right. Absolutely. Great comments, guys. Great comments. You know, I thought it was a well-expressed piece. And strong thoughts were presented to the readers. I much enjoyed it, and it was well done. So great job, Dave, and thank you so much. Not the cutesy rhyming poem tonight. Nope. He's straight to the point. Bam, bam, bam.
That was back to back. Last night, Dave gave us a five-liner?
Yeah, I loved that poem. I really did. I thought it was a beautiful little poem. And it was so different for him. That's why, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, I got to ask him if we can have it for the show. Okay. So, and bless his heart, I got it. And this one's pretty cool. I have not seen him not write in rhyme up until the poem I found for last night. And now here I am going, well, geez, I guess I just wasn't looking. But, you know, it happens that way sometimes. I leave it alone. Oh, gosh. Okay, Weaver, whenever you're ready.
I'm ready, honey. This is He Makes Me Shiver by Fantail. And Pam, could you read this, please?
Absolutely. I would be happy to. He Makes Me Shiver by Fantail. Daylight quickly dims at the impatience of dusk, his imposing presence visible by shadows, reaching out to a deepening sky, fostering night chills with tentacles lashing out their icy stings, making me gasp as I reluctantly step out into the arms of Old Man Winter and poem.
Hmm. Well, nice read, Pam. And Kate, do you want to start us off on this one? I think that's your pleasure. Are you on mute, Kate?
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm on mute again. I'm all right, I'm off mute. Oh, my goodness. Sorry, I was busy clicking about there. Yes, this one again. I love the way this is, it spans the lines and it moves, you know, as the lines come down, it moves along and it moves along. So they're not in one straight line. It's just lovely. I love that. I don't know what you call that. There must be a name for it. Is there a name for doing that? What would you call that?
I don't know if there is.
Probably not.
I'm always bouncing things around. I thought it was just maybe in me.
Oh, I like that. Staggering the lines. That's the word I was looking for. Staggering. That'll do anyway. So, yes, I think that's lovely. Shadows reaching to a deepening sky. Isn't that a lovely line? Shadows reaching out to a deepening sky, fostering night chills with tentacles lashing out their icy stings. Oh my, another one that makes you actually feel chilled. Ugh. I'm looking for my cardigan. To the arms of old man winter. Now, see, isn't that sweet? Into the arms of old man, because nobody particularly likes winter. You know, it's cold, damp, and horrible, but here we have it personified into old man winter, which is, yeah, he's nice, old man winter. We like him. We might invite him around for a cup of tea. Yeah, I like it a lot. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. It was lovely.
Nice comment. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I thought the personification of winter was beautiful in this. I love the delicate sensuality. I like, Kate, how you used the word staggering for the stanzas that kind of have that sense of movement. I thought that was really cool. But, yeah, I like how this all leads up to the point of stepping out that door, making me gasp as I reluctantly step out into the arms of old man winter. Just amazing what you can express in only 45 words, and it's very well done.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree with that. Rex, how about you?
All those words, daylight, dust, shadows, deepening sky, and gas, are drawn out. They're meant to impose a particular feeling, one that you get with the fact that when daylight quickly dims, it's drawn out initially, and then it kind of snaps out. And then you get that note to dusk, which is drawn out again. And then all of a sudden, you're getting in shadows, which are also drawn out. The deepening sky imposes that note of the darkness drawing in. And that gasp is that hiccup. When you go outside, you get that first blast of air, and you go, there is that gasp. It's, again, drawn out. And old man winter, that's just the nature of the beast. He makes me shiver.
Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. I love this poem. You know, Fantail, well, I've always been a little bit of a fan of hers. I don't, you know, we all know I don't run around and go checking things out and everything else. I kind of try and stay in L&P and mind my business for the most part. But I think that this was just awesome. I love the title because when you first look at it, you go, okay. And as you read on, you go, okay. But then when you get down to like the last five or six lines, I don't know exactly how many there are, maybe eight. But it all leads into here, making me gasp as I reluctantly step out into the arms of old man winter. I love that. I really do. I love that. Because, you know, the title, you know, he makes me shiver. I think that it leads you in one direction. And then all of a sudden you feel like you're going somewhere else, but it just walks you right into it. And I think it was just so well done. So excellent job, Fantail, and thank you so much. This is a great piece. Yeah, I like it. Okay, Kate, whenever you like.
Hello, I'm ready. We have Winter's Glamorous Orchestra by Randa Josri. And I'll read this one, because
okay.
I will.
Thank you.
If I can ever get it open. Oh, come on. Oh, here we are. Winter's Glamorous Orchestra. Ah, another beautiful picture. The lightning's quick step flare bends surely towards the earth and guides dreamy imagination's trips. Thunder bells peal like a euphonious rock band. The chipper cloudbirds flap their wings. The crescendo of vigorous whirlwinds set free. The crystal eyes of the starry sky sparkle. The horizon blazes in an incredible cosmic glimmer. The luminous faces of streams, the dead-looking evergreen firs dance, samba in sync. Raindrops on cheeks, anguish melts, eagerly sliding into a moment of elegance. An allure wins admiration. A bright glare stirs my senses. End poem.
Nice read. Very nice read, Kate. Before we start with comments, I'd like to welcome Bobby to the show. Hello, Bobby. How are you tonight?
I'm very good, thank you. Glad to be with
Bobby.
You folks. It's been very lovely. I'm splendid. Oh, what a lovely sound to hear is your voice, Kate.
Oh, thank you, my dear. How nice to hear you.
I thought I'd relax with you folks this evening. I've had a very, very, very long week.
Well, we'll relax you. Don't you worry.
Good.
I look forward to it. Oh, I forgot what I'm doing here.
Rex, you want to start off on this one? Awesome.
Sure. It's I love the picture, and this hits on the picture very well with its thoughts and its a touch of abstract but metaphorical angle step into lightning's quick steps flare, bent surely towards their thunder's bell, peal like a euphonious rock band, chip of cloud birds flap their wings, a crescendo of vigorous whirlwind set free. Great thoughts to imagine that picture, bring it to life. I think the only thing that might take away is the use of too many verbs. Could have done knocked a couple of those off and maybe condensed it a bit more. It would have held a bit more impact. But you got six or seven verse to start one line going right on through, and it kind of takes a little bit out of it, but not the appeal of the piece itself.
Good comment, Lex. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this write has wonderful imagery in it. I like how she writes about the power of the storm, you know, that reminds us, you know, that nature is a force to be reckoned with. I also thought that this spoke well on the idea that a storm can open the senses, make the senses almost more aware. I really like the imagery in that third stanza, with the dead-looking evergreen firs dance samba in sync. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Wonderful comment, Cam. Nice job. And Bobby, how about you?
Well, we're looking at Winter Slammer by Rhonda Yosery. Is that the
yes,
one?
Yes. Yep.
Well, first, the illustration is quite dramatic. But I love the way she is. This is almost like she's almost orchestrated this piece. It reminds me of Toccata and Fugue in D minor. I mean, it has it just leaps off the page in terms of the activity that's involved with a storm. It really gets you involved in how vibrant and amazingly alive nature can be when you are in the middle of one of these things.
Nice comment. And Kate, how about you?
Yes, this picture. I mean, this picture is so vibrant, and yes, she's walking you through what we're seeing, and she's made it so that it's obvious that this is walking through the storm. So we have the lightning first of all, and then we perceive the thunder, the peals of thunder, because we see the birds in flight, so they've been frightened a little bit by it, and then we go on to the sky itself with the stars sparkling. So it's all there, we're walking through, we're getting on, whirlwind's there, so the wind's there, and I love, I mean, for me, that particular line, the dead-looking evergreen firs dance samba in sync. That's just a lovely line. The alliteration, it's subtle, but it's really impactful. I liked it a lot. And yes, the last stanza, as usual, it's very, very elegant, the last one. I like it, the last stanza. So I thought it was a wonderful job. Thank you so much, Rhonda.
Nice comment, Kate. Absolutely. Yeah, it was a great piece. I enjoyed the imagery throughout. And the image was beautiful. So I think that they kind of went hand in hand there. So wonderful job, Rhonda. And thank you so much for sharing, as always, with us. And Kate, whenever you're ready.
Hmm.
it is.
Kate, are you on mute?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much. That's just a whole spiel there. Completely lost to the ether. God, Bennett, is that not the most annoying thing in the whole wide world? I was being lyrical and I was being interesting and witty. And if you can believe that, I've got a bridge I'd like to tell you. Oh, dear me. Oh, I shouldn't be doing this job. I'm too old. Anyway, Sleeping Trees. Sleeping Trees by Robert Pileski. And Rich, could I ask you to read this, please?
Sure. Sleeping Trees by Robert Pileski. Trees, the poem of winter. The charcoal outlines sketched by a passing artist. The nude poses in the outdoor boudoir. Branches adorned with the snowy clusters of twigs, gnarled and twisted, extend like the very hands of the old man, ready to catch the soft falling flakes. Quiver in the bitter wind, sneeze under the snow they carry, send it raining down, add to a pile of a white mucus on the ground. Trees, as they stand silently, sleeping, dreaming of spring, light and lean, warming the season with their bold brown hues, they stand like a song half sung, unsure of the melody to come, waiting for the wind breathes warm once more. Will they recall the rolling words and unfurl them green in the sun until they are mute, forlorn in the wind, sleeping, wrapped in their surgical coats, shiver, standing in the cold wind, groan under the weight of snow. Life from the land is strangled and stifled in winter's deadly clutch. The space around is hollow as an empty bird's nest in winter barren vacant. The voices that laughed and cried, gone. No dawn chorus, no symphony, no avian orchestra. The world is entombed in a dome of silence, only fluttery snowflakes glinting like a pulverized diamond dust fill the airy silence. Sparkling winterscape glitters like an angel fire. In the background, blackish green silhouettes and the snowy mountain peaks behind them. Every child's Christmas dream. And poem.
Great read, Rex. Great read. I just have to reboot my computer, and I'm working on that. But Pam, would you like to start us off on comments?
I'm sorry. Could someone else go first?
Sure. Bobby, you want to start us off?
Certainly. I really, really enjoyed the visual imagery on this. It's very engaging. It puts you right into the heart of winter, although I don't know if I'm going to ever enjoy snow falling out of trees onto me quite as much after thinking of it as adding a pile of white mucus on the ground. I never thought of it that way. A little too nasal for me, thank you very much. But I really like just the whole thing is wonderful storytelling. It just lays the whole atmosphere at your feet and pulls you right into it and involves you.
Nice comment, Bobby. And Kate, how about you?
Yes, I like the picture so much. I mean, again, we've got that chilly effect which sets you up for what's happening in the piece of poetry itself. Charcoal, I mean, I love trees anyway. I think trees are the most amazing thing. And then you see the charcoal outlines sketched by a passing artist. That's lovely. And then branches adorned with the snowy cluster of twigs, gnarled and twisted, then like the very hands of the old man, ready to catch the soft falling flakes. So it's very beautifully written and a lovely ode to winter. And again, we get to that wonderful last stanza. In the background, blackish green silhouettes and the snowy mountain peaks behind them, every child's Christmas dream. Yeah, lovely. So you're somebody who likes winter, likes the whole aspects of winter that most of us don't know. So I thought it was beautifully written, an ode to winter. Lovely.
Absolutely. Okay. No, absolutely. I agree. And Rex, how about you?
I'll bite on that note. It is an ode to winter, and it's got a classic old world feel to it because it's deliberate in its notations. The outdoor boudoir, the nude poses for the trees, the white mucus on the ground. I like that just for the simple fact it's not just because he's got the soft falling flakes. He's got the snowy clusters. The white mucus offers up that that darker bit of snowfall, the wet stuff that kind of gets into your socks, feet, and your feet, and it slushes. That's what that is. That nice bit of slushy snow that you can't get away from. Everything else walks back inside that notion of the prettiness. Stand silently sleeping, dreaming of spring. And winter's deadly clutch, the space around is hollow as an empty bird's nest in winter barren vacant. The voice that laughed and cried gone. A nice notation there again of what winter does. And the background, you get that sort of the back end of this, the blackish green silhouettes and the snowy mountain peaks behind them. A nice touch to the evergreens that are still out there. And that last one, every child's Christmas dream. So he's noting both the good, the little touch of darkness that comes with winter, but also hitting on the fact that this is more in line, it's meant for children. And he's enjoying it from behind the a warm fire and looking out the window, so to speak.
Nice comment, Rex. Nice comment. And Pam, how about you? You ready?
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful write. I really like how it has such a sense of reality to it, especially in those first parts, such visceral imagery. There's something to me fascinating with trees in winter that are leafless and you just see the shapes of the branches. It's almost like studying like bones in the desert. You know, it's beautiful and yet at the same time it represents death. I really like the imagery and, you know, the add to a pile of white mucus on the ground, tree as they stand silently sleeping, dreaming of spring light and lead, warming the season with their bold brown hues. And then, as Rex was mentioning, the fact that he brings in at the end that the snowy mountain peaks behind them, every child's Christmas dream, it is that idea of the difference between how an adult sees winter and how a child sees winter. And there's such, in the last line, there's such a captivating idea of the innocence and the appreciation that children have for snow. Beautifully written and very well done.
Nice comments. Nice comments, everybody. And Kate, whenever you're ready.
Thank you.
I'm still trying to give
you. Yeah, it's okay. I'm going to read this one because I want everybody to get themselves settled in and get done what they need to get done or whatever. So I'll read this one. Beautiful Winter by Piotr D. Kabla. And I'll probably send that completely wrong. I'm just going to send that out. Here we are. Okay. Beautiful Winter. Another lovely picture. Winter to me is such a delight. In bed listening to rain at night. Snuggled up in front of an open fire. With someone special, heart's desire. Everything seems so fresh and clean. Forget summer and droughts that have been. Snow-covered mountains, joy to be seeing. Down the steep slopes, such fun to be skiing. Of course in December, we are all filled with glee. Santa leaves us little presents under the tree. Night is quiet, everyone tries to keep still. A beautiful time, full of peace and goodwill. No need to be upset while spring you are waiting. Enjoy the cold and simply do some ice skating. Home fires are burning, food there to cook, or simply to go to bed and read a good book. Outside it is raining, inside it's much drier. Time to make sweet love in front of a fire. Stuck inside together gives you the chance for wine, dine, dance, and plenty of romance. The power may go off, but still a good night, laughing and joking by fire or candlelight. When winter is here, I am glad I'm not dead. Cuddle up with my darling in a nice warm bed. If you hate winter, what a sad and sorry plight. Must have a screw loose. Something's not right. Play some nice music. Keep warm. Dance and sing. Enjoy winter while you can. Soon, it will be spring. End poem.
Nice read, Kate. Nice read. Excellent right, Poeta. Bob, you want to start us off?
Certainly. I like Poeta's work, and this is such a melodic piece. The rhythm of it, sweeps you up at the beginning and just carries you through. The rhyming is just meticulous and spot on, and the meter is just is so pleasing to the ear and to the reading. The storytelling is wonderful. I love the colloquial nature of it. You know, you don't like winter, you must have a screw loose. I really like that. It's, you know, it's definitely not Yeats. It's very engaging because it's very it's familiar. It's friendly. I really enjoy this piece.
Nice, nice comment. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, you know, the thing is I'm one of those, I am not a winter person, but there is definitely things I appreciate about this poem, because I think no matter what the situation you're in, even if it feels like winter is getting too long, you can have a positive attitude. And that's what I like most about this poem. It has great rhyme to it. And most important, it has such a powerful, positive message. You know, the power may go off, but still a good night, laughing and joking by fire or candlelight. When winter is here, I'm glad I'm not dead. Cuddle up with my darling in a nice warm bed. Very uplifting in nature and very well done.
Absolutely. And Rex, how about you, hon?
This is different from what we see from Poeta. It's more deliberate as opposed to the usual twisted endings we get with a nice ride, dry twist to it as far as humor goes. But he still drops it in with must have a screw loose, something's not right. That second line to finish out the last stanza, then adding his humor in there. It's typical Aussie humor because he is sharp in that pose, and he always delivers something which gets you to look, oh, damn, I can't believe he actually said that. But, yeah, it fits perfectly. And, no, I wasn't expecting that to come along, but it did.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And Kate, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. I'm sorry for giggling in the middle of it, but when it came to the line, when winter is here, I'm glad I'm not dead. That just slayed me. It came up unexpectedly. I mean, you know, the power may go off, but it's still a good night. Laughing and joking. And then I'm glad I'm not dead. Oh, dearing me. Oh, I thought it was so clever and just unexpected, which I loved so much. I like the unexpected. So, yes, he's another one who likes winter. I like winter. Especially if you've got an open fire, how wonderful that would be. Sitting in front of an open fire with all that. It's because it's cold and dank and dismal out there that it makes your little cozy home feel even cozier, because, you know, you're right. Happy and you're warm. It's having a contrast, something to think about. That's the opposite of what you have, which makes what you have so much better. So I'm talking rubbish again. Am I?
No,
I get so excited. I get carried away. I do apologize. Honestly, I'm mad. But anyway, any road up, I thought it was lovely and I really enjoyed it. So thank you so much for sharing it.
Nice comment, Kate. Yeah, I like this one by Poeta as well. Love the image you chose because it's so serene. And that's what I like best about winter. I like the pictures of it, you know, out the window, anywhere.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be out in it. I'm not crazy about snow. And cold, wet weather doesn't do a thing for me. But the poem was wonderful. I love the imagery in it. I like the warmth of the poem. You know, we're talking about winter, right? And I love the warmth But definitely like the intro. Winter to me is such a delight. In bed listening to rain at night, snuggled up in front of an open fire with someone special, heart's desire. You know, he just takes a loving approach to the whole thing. And, you know, there is something to be said for that, you know. You know, you may not be outside, you know, in it and enjoying it. Then again, the next stanza he's skiing. But there's a way around that. You know, you can find something positive in almost any situation. And I think that you did a fine job with that here. But, yeah, I have to laugh with you for sure, Kate. You know, when you get to the I'm glad I'm not dead. I think that most days, not just in the wintertime. You know, I mean, that helps. You know? It helps. But, yeah, so I thought the imagery was great. I liked his rhyming meter throughout. Poeta is a good rhyming poet. He definitely is. So thank you for sharing, as always, Poeta. I appreciate it. Okay, now, Kate, I think that brings me back to you.
I think you're right. Now we have Winter's Cache by Lyne Guthrie. And Pam, would you like to read this, please?
Oh, I have an audio for that one, sweetie. By Lynn?
Oh,
yes.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, I do. So if you put it up, I'll hit the button.
It's up.
Okay, then I'm hitting. Here we go.
Okie dokie.
Winter's Cache. November skies are gray. The sun has gone away. The cold is here to stay. Fireplaces aglow today. Marshmallows to flambe. Winter reminds us of its cache. Gearing up for a grand holiday. Lights and sparkles on display. Jolly carols mirthfully play. Festive bells all in array. Riding in on a sleigh for a lovely movie matinee. Warmest wishes to convey for a perfect Christmas day.
Nice job, Lynn. Appreciate that very much. Kate, would you like to start us off this time?
Oh, yes. No problemo. Yes, so this is another lovely poem. This is gentle and sweet. And it's, you know, there's not too much cold going on. It's fireplaces that glow and lights and sparkles on display and carols being played. So this is another side. This is the holiday side of winter, where you hear the bells ringing and you get your lovely little presents given to you. So I think that's nice to think about this as not only winter, but a perfect Christmas day. So I thought it was lovely. I thought it was very sweet. And I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Nice. Very well done. Rex, how about you?
Okay. This kind of speaks to something a little older. She hits on that note of what was in it. Festive bells all in array, riding in on a sleigh for a lovely movie matinee. It's kind of you don't get too many cities that offer up a sleigh or that winter carriage ride anymore. You get a couple of cities like this one's definitely in London because you look at the old Doctor Who style phone boxes right there. But it does offer up how a city kind of sets itself aside from everywhere else. You got the carolers out running. You've got the sleigh or the carriage, and the weather skies do offer up that note of gray. Definitely, sun is gone. Then you hit that note: fireplaces aglow, marshmallows to flambe. Winter reminds us of its cachet. So there's a note of delight in the onset of the season itself and what can be taken from it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Nice comment. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is another one that has such a delightful, positive attitude in it. I really enjoy the three-line rhyming stanzas. I thought they flowed nicely. I like the imagery in this, and I like how it's not just about the sights, but also about the sounds, you know, like the mention of the Jolly Carols Play Mirthfully and Festive Bells All in Array. Wonderful lines, beautifully written and very well done.
Nice. Nice comment, Pam. And Bobby, how about you?
I like the note of nostalgia that it has in it. Like Greg said, the matinees and the riding a sleigh. It does harken back to, it almost gives you a flavor of your childhood and the things that you really looked forward to in that season. And, you know, it wasn't always the presents under the tree. It was the whole atmosphere and the rituals that you did, that you had, the special things you did at Christmas time or the holiday season. And this very much reminds me of that.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I was going to say pretty much the same thing, that the taste of nostalgia that ran through it was wonderful. And that was a great catch on that, Rex. And I also liked the mono run. I thought that was, it kind of suited it well all the way through. And it was just a nice piece. And I thank you, Lynn, for sharing it with us tonight. I see it's an older piece, but I'm not so sure what show it might have been written for, but you did a fine job, and I thank you for bringing it back for us tonight. Nice job. Okay, Kate, I'm kicking it back to you. Oh, she's already ready. Look at that.
Okay. Winter Palace by Poetic Prince. And Rex, I'm sorry you're having to work so hard, but you're our only male, so we have to rely on you. Could you read this for me, please?
All right. Winter Place by Poetic Prince. Snowballs, icicles, angel man, ice igloo, rain swirl, white droplets. Snowy fluffy flakes, ivory frosted cold pearls, white blank, canvas. Frozen arena, frigid chilled air, nipping ears, frost, ice cold seating. Snow some summits, cold air vapors, fog mist, below zero temps. Ice frost windowsill, snowy ivory chalk mounds, streets in white frost sleep. End part.
Nice. Nice read, Rex. Nice read. Pam, you want to start this one off?
Yeah, this is a beautiful haiku chain with wonderful winter imagery. I really like where he says, snowy fluffy flakes, ivory frosted cold pearls, art's white blank canvas. There's some wonderful alliteration in these lines. Beautifully written and very well done.
Nice. Nice comment, Pam. And Bobby, that brings me to you.
Agreed. I'm impressed with the, I'm always impressed with someone who can take a very rigorous structure format and craft a chain of them together for storytelling. That's a real talent, and he's done a very very remarkable job of it with the visual imagery and frozen arena, frostbitten cold frost ice cold seating. You can feel it when you read that. It's cold air, vaporous fog mist. Very very tactile, very very sensory oriented piece, and it really does give you a flavor of what's being experienced.
Nice comment. And Kate, I'm coming to you.
Okie dokie. Yes, this is lovely. I can see how much work has gone into this, but it looks effortless, and it's a lovely idea to have. I can't say the word very easily, so I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong. And for years, I've been trying to a five-verse haiku. Is it a haiku?
Haiku.
Yeah, it's like there's another word I can never say. Table talking. I call it table talking. I can't say the word. It's yes, in French and German, and it's a thing with a thing, and spirits speak to you. That's another word I can't say. So there you are. That's two of them. Oh, I hope there's no more. Yes, frozen arena, frigid chilled air, nipping ears. Oh, yes. Frost, ice, cold, seething. Now, we've all experienced that, haven't we? Sitting down in a frozen seat is not the most nice, comfortable. Not at all. I don't like that. But that's only the only minus I can think of, because otherwise this is lovely. You've got your snowballs, angel man, ice eagle, rain falling, white droplets, snow fluffy flakes. Yes, I think this is beautiful, and I really enjoyed it. And very clever. So thank you, Poetic Prince.
Nice comment. And Rex, brings me to you.
All right. Well, each one could stand on their own, but popping them all together, you get it's almost run as a as vignettes done in haikus. So you got a little different scene with each one, offering up a different note to being viewed. Snow some stomachs, cold air vapors, fog mist below zero temps. And ice frost windowsill, snowy ivy, chalk mounds, streaked in white frost flakes. So it does offer up a peaceful tranquility in the scenery itself.
Yeah. Comment, everybody. I have to say it was a beautiful winter piece, great haiku cane, and great imagery all the way through. So very much enjoyed, and thank you, Poetic Prince RW. And whenever you're ready, Kate. I'm with you, girl.
Okay. I have a vignette from Diamonds in the Moonlight. Free verse by Captain B2. So, Bobby, would you like to read this, please?
Oh, not that hack again. Oh, my God.
I was going to pretend I'd lost it, but I thought I better not.
Yes. Vignette from Diamonds in the Moonlight. I spared everyone the longer piece. So... Huge snowflakes drift slowly, lazily, languidly through the frigid winter air, looking like soft, fluffy, white lace handkerchiefs. The majestic towering pines, enrobed in luxuriant white, stand gathered, reminiscent of a waiting processional of stylish matrons, elaborately bedecked in downy feathers and icy satin, sumptuous ermine, and frosty pearls. The woods are preternaturally quiet, a thick, comfortable silence like the earth is swathed in cotton wool. It is a palpable stillness. You can almost reach out and gather it in your gloved hands. The trees and forest floor are stark alabaster white, and the snow-covered mountains stand looming in the distance, resembling gigantic glacial sentries. Chill light is faded, and night's frozen light rises, waxing gibbous in the eastern sky. We walk arm in arm through the sleeping trees, bathed in the silvery blue illumination, the silence punctuated by the dry, frozen squeak of the snow on the path beneath our feet. We are home at last. As we settle in for the night, we are grateful to nature for the breathtaking beauty she has bestowed on us today. For as we embrace and gaze together through the frosted window panes that reflect the firelight glowing in the fireplace behind us, we see her ephemeral gifts twinkling in the pale argent light shining from above. Our own personal treasured hoard blankets the ground and glistens before us, our coverlet of twinkling snowflakes, a radiantly shimmering snowfield. Here in our sublimely perfect winter night together, we have diamonds in the moonlight. End poem.
Great read, Bobby. Great piece. Kate, you want to start us off?
Yes, my dear. Oh, Bobby, this is lovely. As usual, you are such a wordsmith, and I really enjoy that. I feel comfortable knowing that it's pretty epic anyway. So that's lovely to know. You can have the confidence to sit back and just enjoy it, which is great. But the lines, I mean, a thriller, fluffy white lace handkerchiefs looking like soft fluffy white lace handkerchiefs. They're just, it's all so pretty, but it's also, it's luxurious. It's there's just so much in it. I mean, like, in, I keep going on about it, but the day's chill light has faded and night's frozen light rises, waxing gibbous in the eastern sky. And you use the word language, don't you? You've got language in there somewhere. I'm sure I heard it. I love that word. It's one of my favorites. Oh, yes, there it is. Look right at the beginning. Drifting slow, lazily, languidly. Yeah, lovely. But here we come to the last stanza, my favorite stanza of all. Here in our sublimely perfect winter night together, we have diamonds in the moonlight. Oh, so that's just beautiful. Ends it in such a lovely way. Yes. So thank you so much for that, because I enjoyed it.
I'm glad you liked it. Thank you.
It was lovely.
And Rex, how about you?
All right. I like the opening of this. That as Kate hit on that last line, the first stanza, looking like soft, fluffy white lace handkerchiefs. It's a nice lead-in to what I think is the penultimate stanza, just for the how you've draped the trees themselves in the way they're viewed. The majestic towering pines, enrobed in luxuriant white, stand gathered, reminiscent of a wedding procession of stylish matrons, elaborately bedecked in downy feathers and icy satin, sumptuous ermine and frosty pearls. That's a great way of looking at evergreens and the way this note sticks to the pins themselves. Everything else walks the same way, but that one there has got so much packed into it just for the trees themselves. So you've got the woods of preternaturally quiet, a thick and comfortable silence, which is a nice note to itself again. Like the earth is swathed in cotton wool, it is palpable stillness. You can almost reach out and gather in your gloved hands. Again, you keep the fold up, but that second stanza is definitely the one that lights the scene, as if you've got, besides the way the trees look, as if you've got them also bedecked with Christmas lights.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is beautifully written. It's got amazing imagery in it. This is one of those poems that if you made a recording of it, I could see a instrumental version of Walking in a Winter Wonderland being played softly behind the words. And I really like how this is about walking through winter, enjoying not only the imagery, but the stillness and the silence in it. And I really did like the mention of how the trees look like centennials, and the woods are preternaturally quiet, a thick, comfortable silence, like the earth is swathed in cotton wool. It is a palpable stillness. Just stunning lines there and a beautiful write all the way through. Very well done, Bobby.
Thank you very much.
Amen. Bobby, I think this is a beautiful write from beginning all the way through to the end. I mean, you have wonderful, stunning stanzas all the way through. Your use of imagery is incredible in each one. And I think that you've painted wonderful images. You know, you say it's a vignette. So if you take each stanza, you can paint a picture to each one of those. But I think all in all, if you put it all together, it's a beautiful backdrop, completely, and so well done. So I have to say it's an excellent piece, and I really enjoyed listening to it, reading it, and commenting on it. Nice job.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And Kate, again, that brings me back to you. Look, she got it up. Are you so...
I am.
Where you want to
We've got Winter White by Persanthemy. What a lovely Persanthemy. I got a lisp suddenly. Shouldn't do that very often. Right. Oh my God. And so, would you like to read this one, Winter White?
Sure. Absolutely. I'll give it a whirl anyway. Can't promise anything exciting. So, Winter White by Persanthemy. in nature, robes of world in winter white. The fields, the woods, the farms, the lakes, the streams are swathed in ermine robes and seem like dreams. The moon herself, a vision silver bright, now gazes down to sea in mild delight. The world smiled back at her with moonlight gleams, more beautiful than anything else seems. With all this snow, the full moon like daylight. And not alone the land, the snowshoe hare, peers out to covert in his winter white. The ermine in her furs of lustrous snow, the arctic fox that wanders everywhere, have donned their wintry vesture safe from sight, and wear them all until the warm winds blow. End poem. Nice imagery. Okay, Rex, how about you? You want to go first?
Sure. Well, I'll go back to back. Bobby brought out the thought with how this is dressed, and Persanthem did the same thing. Where is it? Now I can't find it. Ermine robes. She's got that very thought there, too, as well as I like that note in that first end of the first stanza. With all this snow, the full moon, like daylight, a nice touch. And then the back end of this, hitting on the animals themselves, ermine in her furs of lustrous snow, the arctic fox, the snowshoe hare, all of that which comes out with the thicker fur for the winter end of things, but still do their prowling, their hunting, their feeding, and they're enjoying it. Much like nature is offering up that note. I did like everything being covered, the fields, the woods, the forests, the lakes, the streams, swath in ermine robes and seem like dreams. There's a nice ethereal quality in that note.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, great comment, Rex. And Pam, it brings me to you.
Yeah, I like that this is another one that has wonderful imagery in it that personifies winter, but personifies nature or winter in a feminine form. Dame Nature robes the world in winter white, the fields, the woods, the farms, the lakes, the streams. I also really like how in the, that throughout this, she brings in the different animals, you know, the ermine and the arctic fox and the wind and the snowshoe hare. So that she reminds us that winter is filled with life. So beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. And Bobby, how about you? Oh, Bobby, you're breaking up.
She looks about her, the trees, the moon gazing down, and with the moonlight brings your focus down to the forest floor. The wood smile, the world smiles back at the moonlight, the snow, full moonlight, daylight, and then brings you down to the forest floor where all the life is. So the focus in the second stanza tightens. To the focus of what's going on the forest floor, and I really like it gives it a very naturalistic and intimate quality to it. Like, you know, you can look around at the trees, the beautiful trees in the moonlight, but don't forget that there's things around you that are down on the ground that are there too. And that's what I really noticed about that, the way she artfully did that.
Mm. Absolutely. Nice comment, Bobby. And Kate, how about you?
I like going when everybody else has spoken because I don't put my foot in it. I have done it a few times. This is so cool. I can just relax and listen to you. And then I come on and say, I agree. I totally agree. I saw that. No, I didn't see that. But I do love that second stanza because it's as you say, it brings you to, although everything is white, and because when you get that covering of snow, that thick covering, everything becomes just snow. And it's lovely, it's beautiful, but you don't think about what's going on underneath that, what's going on around that. So it lulls you into this sort of false sense of security that everything is beautiful and everything is smooth. But then you've got these little animals desperately trying to survive. And obviously they've changed the color of their fur. I love Ermine and her furs of lustrous snow and the Arctic fox that wanders everywhere, having donned their wintry vestures safe from sight, and wear them all until the warm wind blows. Yes, again, as you said, Bob, it brings you down to this, brings you, makes you realize what, you know, there's a lot going on. It just may look pretty, but there's a lot of surviving and fighting and crawling away and, oh, yes. So I thought it was delicious, and I really enjoyed it.
There you go. Yes, nice comments, everybody. I have to say, I thought this was a beautiful piece. And I have to agree with Pam. I loved it. Winter was personified as a woman, you know, and her world of world in winter white. See, I can't say it now. I was all tongue twisted. But I thought there was beautiful, beautiful imagery all throughout this, and I really enjoyed it very much. So a nicely penned piece, Chrysanthemum. I appreciate that very much. Okay, Kate, back to you. You be in charge.
Has Rex made a comment?
I think I started with him.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. I wasn't listening then. Okay, yes, the next one's up. Winter White by... No, it's not. Here we are. The next one's coming. Oh, dear. Stepping from Fall to Winter by Sonia 3902Z. And Pam, would you like to read this, please?
I would be happy to. Stepping from Fall to Winter by Sonia 3902Z. Stepping from fall to winter is a difficult journey for some. Our minds are still living in orange as our surroundings turn white, leaving us confused and in fright. The warmth of the mighty sun wanes, replaced by chilly and biting winds, entering our hearts and bones to freeze an icy greeting, which we try to ignore, opposite of the sunny sun, which we adore. Waiting for stubborn Jack Frost to leave, counting the days seems to take forever. Animals are smart as they hibernate, sleeping within a cozy and warm den, as a human writes this poem with a cold pen and poem.
Nice read, Pam. And Bobby, you want to start us off on this one?
Certainly.
Thank
you. I wasn't quite sure what to expect from this one, but... It definitely reminds us that there's a definite shift in the temperature. The warmth of the mighty sun wanes, replaced by chilly and biting winds. I mean, it really does. As you get down into the last stanza, waiting for Severed Jack Frost to leave, it reminds you how when you're in the throes of winter, even toward the end of it, it seems like it is it hangs on until the very last, and it's almost reluctant to give up its hold on the countryside or on nature. So I like the fact that it reminds us that it takes a while, but we finally emerge from it.
Okay. Yep. I hear you. And Kate, that's going to bring me back to you.
Okay. Yes, I can see it probably would be going from autumn to winter. Because yes, we've been in the sun and we've been enjoying all that, and then autumn comes along, or fall, as you would say, and everything starts to change, and everything becomes it's turning from living and growing to basically just not doing very much while it's got snow all around. So yes, I think that's lovely. Makes you think about going from fall to winter. And then you have waiting for stubborn Jack Frost to leave. Counting the days seem to take forever. Animals are smart as they hibernate, sleeping within a cozy and warm den. As human writes this poem with a cold pen. Oh, I thought that was really lovely. That last line, you can imagine I'm snuggled up, I'm all right, I've got my hair on me. I'll wait till the sun comes out and then I'll start living again. And we just sit and we just carry on. We deal with whatever weather we've got to deal with. We should all hibernate. We've got to be honest. If, you know, it would be the way to go. And then I'd come out really slim. That'd be so cool. Yes, we should do that. But I thought this was very well written. And again, atmospheric and makes you think about the warmth and then going to the cold. Yeah, I wonder, you know, there's no wonder that our emotions go up and down and round about. Because if you were living in a lovely temperate climate all the time, probably you'd be a lot more relaxed. You know, and if you were planning to have a picnic, it wouldn't start raining on you, you know. That would make you very comfortable, I think. So, yes, I think this is beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. Sonia, thank you.
Absolutely. Great comment, Kate. Great comment. And Rex, how about you?
It's the dichotomy of voice which tells you what's going on. And she tells you up front the deliver angle where she's coming from. In that second line, the first stanza, a difficult journey for some. And then molds that with a bit more thought in the second stanza with the first line, the warmth of the mighty sun warms, and then the last line in that very same stanza again, opposite of the sun which we adore, sunny sun which we adore. So you know where she's going. So the bite within the last line, the third stanza, as a human rights has come with a cold pen, is because we're not geared to a hibernate. So I'm frustratingly sitting here writing with a cold, bloody pen because I've got nothing else to do. I can't go outside because it's too damn cold. Yet, it's almost as bloody cold inside as it is out. Not happy.
yeah. Good comment, Rex. Good comment. And Pam? How about
Yeah,
you?
I thought this was a clever write. It was had, to me, some nice bits of humor in it, like the idea of how, you know, animals have the right idea of who hibernate. You know, I often have thought that. I do like that ending with, sleeping within a cozy and warm den as a human writes this poem with a cold pen. So wonderful lines and very well done.
Nice. Nice comment, Pam. And welcome, Luyu. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm back home. My heater's not on, so I'm cold. That is a perfect contrast.
It kind of fits the motif for that last poem.
Oh, yeah. I was just, I didn't get to hear it, but I love that photograph, and I really loved all the points that Rexy and Pam pointed out, you know, and it's true, you know. We should be under our covers with a hot cup of cocoa and marshmallows or Irish cream shots in it and, you know, staying warm and hydrate. But now we get up and sit at that desk and take our pen with the cold air wrapping around us because we got to write that poetry.
Hey, I got one better for you, Luyu. That cup of hot chocolate with a slice of Irish cream cheesecake.
Oh, shame on you. That's tempting.
Well, that's the idea. It's supposed to be luxurious. Oh, yes. I can enjoy this touch of cold while I'm warming up with hot chocolate and blankets.
Oh, I agree.
Sounds wonderful. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Kim, that brings me back to you, my dear.
Okay. I've got The Stars Still Spell Your Name by Forgotten Dream. And Bobby, would you like to read this, please?
That's what I should never ask. Certainly. The Stars Still Spell Your Name by Forgotten Dream. The distant stars glint like icicles against obsidian sky. The air is cobalt and frigid, biting against warm flesh. I wrap in knit sweaters and fleece blankets, soft armor battling against winter's steely chill. But my aching is a frosted lake cracking, vibrations humming deep in my bones, singing a soft dirge for you. Cold waters flood in drowning my lungs and making ribcage a frozen prison for a splintered heart. Flame snuffed the smoky tendrils scrawl moaning prose to the half-turned face of the gibbous moon. End poem.
It's a nice read, Bobby. Let's see. Lou, that brings me to you first.
Oh, you know, I just love the way Bobby read this, and this is a fantastic poem by Forgotten Dreams. I actually smiled when it says, but my aching is a frosted lake cracking, vibrations humming deep in my bones. You know, when you get that shiver. You have to sing that soft dirge for you. That was me. You know, it's pretty bad because you have to go take your a chair outside and sit in the sun like a lizard on a rock to get warm. To keep you from shaking. Fantastic poem and imagery.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, Kate, and that brings me to my friend.
Could you go on to somebody else, please, because I've lost it completely. I don't know where it's gone. So if somebody else could comment it, and I'll find it, and I'll get back to you. Somebody's stolen it.
Stop. Rex, did you take it?
Yes, I did.
Oh, no. Give it back, you fool.
I'll tell you what. I like the thought in the opening stanza, the obsidian sky, the utter darkness of that, and the stars glinting like icicles. That's a nice touch. But that third line I like even better, just for the heaviness it bolts in. The air is cobalt and frigid. It's a nice, rich, dark, deep color, but right there offering it as frigid and biting against warm flesh sends a nice little shiver down you. Now, Lou read that second, that third stanza, but my aching is a frosty lake cracking, vibrations coming deep in my bones, singing a soft dirge for you, is also a great piece. The thought of, there's a literality in that, and it's also metaphorical, because you can go both ways. That lost love might actually have been, he fell through broken ice and drowned in the lake itself. But I think the frosty lake cracking is that sense of self, the deeper thoughts within. Because then you get the next one rolls into a cold water's flood and drowning my lungs and making ribcage a frozen prison for a splintered heart. Again, kind of walking back that to the last one, the lake cracking. So the flood is the dam opening up at that moment. And the flame snuffed, the smoky tendrils scrawl, moaning prose and half-turned face of the gibbous moon, which is a nice touch to finish. But it's on both a metaphorical and a literal sense. You can take it both ways.
Big comment. Big comment, Rex. Absolutely. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is an absolutely stunning night. I really like how it speaks on the idea of those long, lonely hours of winter after love has been lost. I thought it powerful imagery and metaphors. I especially like the stanza, cold waters flood in, drowning my lungs and making ribcage a frozen prison for a splintered heart. Beautiful lines and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Bobby, how about you?
I like the juxtaposition the physical winter, the climatic winter, and the winter of the heart, when the heart is wounded, and it feels like it's lost its warmth, it's lost momentum. I like the fact that the poet has put these two elements together, and
the analogies drawn and the metaphors drawn between them are flame stuff, the smoky tent scroll, moaning prose to give us more. It's exquisite.
Great comment, Bobby. And Kate, how about you? You ready?
Oh, yes. All I have to say is I agree with everything you've said. You've covered the whole thing. Wonderful.
There you go.
Every one of you made a very pertinent point. So you've left me with nothing to say, basically, haven't you? I mean, no, but I thought my favorite was the penultimate stanza. Cold waters flood and drowning my lungs and making ribcage a frozen prison for a splintered heart. Ah. That's heartbreaking. Well, obviously, splintered heartbreaking. Very, very sad. Yeah, I mean, I understand that this was, this was talking about what winter does to you, biting warm flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You're wrapped up in blankets and you've got soft armor on battling against the steely chill. So, yes, it is. It's quite a harsh poetry. So that, I could live with that. But when I got to the flames, second to last stanza, I was just felt so sorry. What a shame! Ribcage, a frozen prison for a splintered heart. That's just beautiful. So yes, I thought it was very well written and very interesting. And thank you, Forgotten Dream, for sharing that with us.
Nice comment. And back to you, Kate. I can say that. Not Eugene.
Well, I'm going to put on mine because it's been held back for a couple of weeks, so I'd kind of like to share it with you.
Okay,
it's got a SoundCloud, and it's called Harsh by Me.
Well, here we go.
I would make amazingly harsh, but fair dominatrix. As my plaything begged me to handcuff and whip him, my answer would be no. Hanging by his ankles, blood rushing to his balding head, that frantic pleading, though musical manner to my ears, did nothing for my libido. Tell me what you did to that nice new secretary who feared for her job, so she acquiesced to your demands. She killed herself, did you know? You didn't. Well, your invite to my private role-play party was because that was my sweet niece and you are going to pay what you owe. As the vile sadomasochistic piece of shit started to scream, I pulled out his tongue and cut it off. I taped the severed edge to stem the blood flow. I was shocked at how calm I felt. I had rented this lockup for a month. Covered my tracks. That would ensure his dying would be slow.
Now that's cheered us all up.
I don't know, but it made me a little nervous, I gotta say. Pretty well thought out. What do you think? Well, Rex, I'm coming to you first. Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought this was going to walk a different way from the outset. I could be a harsh but fair dominatrix as my plaything begged me to handcuff and whip him, but my answer would be no. But then it gets a little twisted, hanging by his ankles, blood rushing through his balding head, a frantic pleading, though musical, manner to my ears, did nothing for my libido. Whew, it's getting a little darker. Kind of walking into that realm of, hey, we're playing Dr. Lecter role here. And then the twist in that third stanza, the secretary, the offering up of, did you know? Then she was my little niece. And so this is all about the begged angle of actually slating out justice, but doing it in the way it's meant to be done. So you don't do it in the heat of the moment. You always serve it up cold. Otherwise, you dig a grave for both people, the delivery and the one getting delivered. So, but this one actually walked to the back end. I was shocked at how calm I felt. I had rented this lockup for a month, covered my tracks, that would ensure his dying would be slow, twisted, and delightful.
That's me.
This is dangerous here, I swear. Pam, how about you?
Oh, I thought this was an excellent dark rite. I like how, Weaver, you can take on the personification of a dominatrix who decides, she's not just a dominatrix, she's a justice, like she's a seeker of justice, like punishing those who do wrong. I really like how this is all about getting them to pay for the sins, the atrocities they've committed. I like how you have hanging by his ankles, blood rushing to his balding head, that frantic pleading through music, though musical manna to my ears did nothing for my libido. Just wonderful dark lines throughout and very well done.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. And Bobby, how about you?
I think you let him off the hook. Ranger.
Bobby.
This is a real,
Bobby, you're breaking up a little bit.
Okay.
You're breaking up a little bit, okay?
Try not to. This is quite the dark right. This is an interesting side of you that poetically is a little bit unnerving.
No. Bobby, I'm not sure if you broke up or if you're done with your comment.
Finished.
You finished? Okay. Thank you. And Lou, you, how about you?
You know, people really don't care how much they damage the others by their behavior, you know, and then there's that dick, you know, that dark righteousness, you know, that exact punishment, you know, when you make them pay for what they've done to others. And right here where you said, as a vile sadomasochist piece of shit started to scream, I pulled out his tongue and cut it off. I taped the severed edge to stem the blood flow. You know, just, you know, here they make tacos with animal tongues. And I just, when you cut off that tongue, I think, you know, it was a slow way to make them realize what they've done, whether they realize it or not. You know, exacting the same soul punishment that they exacted on others. Well penned, and it was just, you know, it was just, how do I say, righteousness was handed out.
Thanks, son.
That gives new meaning to speaking in tongues, Lou.
Exactly.
Oh, yep. Absolutely. Well, I don't know. What I can say is Kate makes me a little nervous. You know, she makes me a little nervous. You know, there's such an ease of flow in her poetic, and I wrote it, you showed such ease in her poetic flow. You know, she didn't miss it a beat. And he wanted to, she said, nope. Okay, how bad I want to give it to you, but if you ask for it, you're not getting it. I see it.
Exactly.
That Libra in her. Uh-huh, I see that balance there, Kate. I don't know, you make me nervous. But I loved it. Great job. Great job, as always.
Don't worry, I'm far enough away. I won't be able to reach anybody. I like to try and push the boundaries. I like to see what is acceptable and what isn't, what I am willing to do or say and what I'm not. I just like to experiment. And this was just, we were supposed to be writing about play acting or something. I can't remember what the prompt was. But I just love
that.
Well,
role play.
Yeah, that's the one, role play. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah, that was my thought. I'm sorry if I bothered. I'm sorry if I upset anybody. I wouldn't want to do that. But
oh God,
I.
Oh, we've all been darker than me.
Yes, sit right in with us.
Oh, that's hey, good. Thank you.
Yeah,
I've done a whole banquet on body parts.
Have you?
Oh, boy.
Oh, right. I'll have to look at that. But I love that kind of thing. It's just great fun. I do tend to sometimes worry if I go too far, but I think if you're willing to write it, you should be willing to own it. So if anybody said to me they thought it was awful, you know, fair enough. That's you're allowed to say that. It probably is awful.
No, that's your opinion.
So, exactly.
You were just fine, Mary Kay. Don't you worry. I just say you. I was just teasing you.
I know you are. You're not really. You're really quite nervous, but never mind.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No. You know, I tell you, if that stuff bothered me or made me nervous, I wouldn't hang with Pam. I've seen her in
the car. That is wonderful.
Yeah.
I always think of Pam as being so ladylike, and so that was just fabulous. I love that.
Well, you haven't been around for a while.
That's true.
Champagne your hide.
Oh, yes, if I ask her nicely.
And then where it is. What is this?
Oh my God, you two make me nervous now. Two of them team up on us, we're in trouble, guys. Okay, listen, we have 8 minutes left. What are we going to do in 8 minutes? I'm not singing. I don't care how much you ask.
Well, I don't know how long this one is that I've got up, you see, so it could be a really long one. I haven't looked at it, and I can't kind of do it, put it up. Do you want me to put another one up?
Yes,
no,
I think so.
You got time.
I have another audio. How about we do Stellina's next?
Oh, yeah,
then,
brilliant.
That way I can play the audio and clear that part of the studio. That'd be good.
Yes, lovely.
Okay.
Oh, there it is. Hello. Okay, let me hit the button. Here we go.
Icy winds, boreal prey, mourning doves sound their doleful cry, as wreathed in sorrow she sits each day, languishing for days gone by. Winter is coming, but he is not. Memories walk with her in solitude, and dulcify each lonely night, when shadowy forms her mind elude in the evanescent light. Winter is coming, but he is not. The sough wind carries her woeful sighs across bleached and barren terrain. Snow burns her lips and lacrimal eyes like fervent kisses of her beloved, now slain. Winter is coming, but he is not. In these jellied halls she will remain evermore, with her faithful walls at her side, and bid farewell to the life she once adored, for without him all joy has died. Winter is coming, but he is not.
Kate, I'm going to start with you on this one. So if you would be so kind.
Yes, certainly. Lovely SoundCloud, totally not as usual. I love the background music, Sylvan Shade, lovely. I love that Howling Wolf, that was really well done. Again, we have that wonderful refrain running through, which I always think captures your attention and holds everything together. Winter is coming, but he is not. And then she remembers about how much she cared about him and how much she loved him, I think. Yes, yes. And again, winter is coming. And she's got wolves, I see. Yes, so this is a beautiful, must be somebody who is mistress of everything. She surveys, basically. She is the one who tells everybody what they can and can't do, I imagine. Looking at that picture, it's beautiful. And those lovely white wolves. So, yes, I thought this was, again, a beautiful poem. Selena, as usual, wonderfully done. And I loved your SoundCloud. Thank you so much.
Nice comment, Kate. And Rex, how about you?
This gives you an idea where myth and legend derive from, because just the language alone, in the icy wind boreal bray, there's a nice deep undertone within that. And then mourning doves sound their doleful cry, again, deep and painful, as wreathed in sorrow she sits each day, languishing for days gone by. And then that single line that you got running through it four times, winter is coming, but he is not. There is a quiet note to no quarter is given. And that's her plight as well as his, because he's gone, but she has to bear that solitude, that loneliness, and that pain, because she continues that thought of a dulcify each lonely night. The soft wind carries woeful sighs. It's not so much, it's plaintive in its pleadings, yet. Winter is coming, but he is not, is that soulful bray that walks the evening with her, and it howls just as much as the wind and the wolves themselves.
Absolutely. Great comment, Rex. Great comment. Now, Pam, how about you?
Oh, this is a beautiful and epic write. I do love that repeat line, winter is coming, but he is not. I like how it speaks on the idea of a lost love that is never to return and the loneliness that comes with it. It truly does have that beautiful myth and legend type feel to it. And I like the lines, memories walk with her in solitude and dulcify each lonely night. Wonderful lines and beautifully written.
Great comment, Pam. And Bobby, how about you?
Oh, I thought this was an exquisite piece. This is her, the SoundCloud, that's a performance, not a reading. That's just the between the her voice and her reading and the background, the background music, beautifully set up. And the use of, I agree with Rex, the use of classic, very classic language in this. Icy winds, boreal bray, doleful cry, dulcify. She gelid halls, great word. You don't see gelid very much. Just the way she's written this is a very classical flavor to it, very lyrical. And the refrain gives it such a mournful tone. When it reoccurs, it's like it's her constant reminder too that she's lost her love. It's beautifully done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Bobby. And Lulu, how about you, girlfriend?
Yeah, I really loved that stanza. Memories walk with her solitude and dulcify each lonely night when shadowy forms her mind, Iliad in the evanescent light. Sometimes some of us just live, and they live alone forever till eternity, till they can be with them. And I loved how she pulled the wolves in here, because you could hear the wolves feeling her loneliness, because they do sense how we feel and howling for her. And, you know, and this was just as painful as it was beautiful. And, you know, for her, every time to be reminded when she has those memories of him never being with her again in this lifetime.
Nice. Nice comment. You know, I thought this was a wonderful piece myself. I thought it was sad and painful, and the note of her lost love. Very well done. And the right is a great reflection of winter's cold. Again, it was chilling to the bone on different levels, not just. And I thought that it was just a great job done. So thank you, Stelina, for sharing with us tonight. I thank everybody who called in and saved me from myself, because that can be an ugly thing. And Gray, I hope you're back with us soon. And, I will
they said 300,000 people are without electricity in Vancouver.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's kind of outrageous. That's a lot. That's a lot of folks. And hopefully they will get it all weeded out and straightened out and fixed soon. But, that's crazy. Is it weather-related, Lou, or is it
from winds, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, I had to look it up because, he just told me like around 7:40, 7:30.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy. Well, hopefully he won't be without power long, and hopefully they'll have other ways of kind of keeping themselves together there, you know, flashlights, candles, you know, all the good stuff that goes with power out of it. And thinking of you, Greg, you take care of yourself, and don't wear out that phone. You know, it can be rough. And anyway, thank you all for calling in and helping with the reads and the comments and everything. Thank you so much, Kate, for helping me. I appreciate you very much. Rex, thanks for being our male voice. We got our dollars worth out of Rex tonight. Let me tell you, he was reading and reading and reading for a while. And that's all right. I think he yelled at us yet, so I guess he's still okay. And Pam, thank you. I know you have somewhere else to be. Everybody, I know that we're off the air, but if anyone can, after midnight with Robert, who's Solace of Shadows tonight, and Pam is going to help Robert with that and get through that poetry, which should be fun because it's open darkness. And, yeah, I think that's it. And then tomorrow we have Rex. What's the show tomorrow night?
Come Together.
Come Together.
Come
there
Together. I like that one. Come Together.
Beatles.
If anybody's got something for it, drop it in, because there's 9 on the board for that right now.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
All right. You can do it. You can do it, girlfriend. You can do it.
You can do it.
Oh, actually, now that's 10. Okay, cool.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, my God. There we go. But,
I'll tell you why I haven't done one, Rex, since the first one I did, because I wrote one for your show many months ago, and it was